Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Any Which Way But Loose. I'm your host, Bennett Pomerantz, on the World of Ink Network. And I wanted to tell you, this has been a crazy, crazy week. If anybody didn't know, the great actress Polly Bergen just passed away of a heart of natural causes. She was 84. She was in, I had just seen it, Winds of War. So it's like, God, just saw her on television, and now she's no longer with us. But this has been a crazy 2 weeks. It's been amazing 2 weeks. And it's just been great that I have three beautiful ladies, and hopefully the fourth one will show up. She right now is having some family difficulties, and I will get with her later, I know, or hopefully she'll come in. I don't know. It depends on her. Let me start with Ms. Hoffman, would you like to start us off here and tell them about who you are?
Okay, my name is Manea Hoffman, and I am the founder of an online magazine called Sweatpants and Coffee. It's sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
And it's, by the way, it's very, very good.
Thank you.
I'm prejudiced. It's very, very good. Not because you're my guest, but it's very, very good. I enjoyed it, and I have to thank Rachel Thompson for introducing me to this beautiful lady. Not a personal introduction, but go ahead. I'll come to California. You'll introduce yourself personally.
Absolutely.
Lori, would you like to introduce yourself slightly, and so that way they know who you are?
Sure. My name is Lori Hayes, and, well, I don't have a book under my name just yet, but on Tuesday I released my first collection of erotica stories under my pen name Red Reverie. It was my little experiment to get into the field and understand what the authors that I talk to every day go through, so that when I start my radio show back up here again in a few months, I can relate to my authors. So that's just kind of me in a nutshell.
And she does a radio show. That's the neat thing about this lady. But I will say this, though, and I want to make sure, because I've just got an IM from a person. They said, are you related to Sherry Hayes? I know she spells differently. But not that we don't love Sherry Hayes, but she, of course, it's two different people. Miss Tilton, would you like to tell them about your book, which I love?
About Trapped. Okay, well,
I'm not going to say about the book, but it's an interesting book. It is scared the out of me.
I'm sorry it scared you. Well, maybe, sort of.
As long as Mike don't hit me, I'm fine. I can hide under your skirt.
It was a fun book to write, and also very difficult, because balancing how to bring across ghosts and also psychics who could walk through time and space, that was tricky. That was very tricky to weave into the storyline.
I found it very, very fascinating. I found it just, one day you and KB Miller have to do a show together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because both of you write paranormal like that, and it's like, yeah,
okay.
Get both of you on the same show and hopefully see if I can get a word in edgewise.
Well, it helps I believe in paranormal, too, so.
Well, yeah, I understand that. So they at least know who we're talking with and what's going on here. Let me start off here with my questions of galore, because I have four people that have already messaged me here, and I love when you get these people. There's somebody asked me What is your new favorite TV series? Because of all the fall, there are like 50 new shows coming out between network and cable, and everybody says, what's the newest show you want to watch? Anybody have any choices, ideas, anything?
Go ahead. Well, I watch through Netgear, so I don't get them when they're brand new, and I am caught up in the Dusk Till Dawn show right now. It's like so freakish. So.
Well, it's based on the movie, you know, but the older brother does not look like George Clooney. I'm sorry, I need George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino.
I have never seen the movie.
Oh, well, you need to rent it. It's like $2, or you need to buy it. It's like $2 on Amazon if you want to buy the thing. And you can buy the four films, because the first film was written by Quentin Tarantino and directed by Robert Rodriguez. So it is fascinating. It really is. Has George Clooney, has Juliette Lewis. Of course, Quentin Tarantino plays the younger brother, the one with the glasses. And it's got a great cast. It really does.
Okay, well, I'll do that tonight.
Well, see if you can catch all of them. But, yeah, the first one is the best one in the world. Anybody else?
So I'm afraid to catch on to any new ones because I'm more excited about all of the ones that are coming back on that I've been longing to watch all summer. So I'm most excited, I think, about Castle. I don't know if any of you all watched that. And then Supernatural are the two that I'm the most addicted to.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I will catch the new stuff.
I'm such a huge Supernatural fan.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm sorry.
And I hear, you
I'm a Castle fan, yes, but Castle and Blacklist. Oh, yeah, baby.
I just heard about Blacklist. I need to start watching that, I think.
Yeah, you've got a season to catch up on, but we'll let you get away with it.
Thanks.
So I don't know about new shows. There's one that I'm kind of looking forward to. I don't know if it's aired yet, if the pilot has aired yet. Selfie?
Oh, I saw the pilot. Oh, God. With Karen Gillian from Doctor Who and John Cho from the new Star Trek.
What did you think of it?
You want the truth? You want me to put the critic out and really give you the truth? I think it'll last 6 weeks. It's going to be like Super Fun Night with Rebel Wilson. It'll last about a season and then go right off the air.
Really?
Yeah. It's Pygmalion revisited. Okay. Those who don't know Pygmalion, My Fair Lady. And if you don't know that one, there are a few others, but it's basically a modern-day My Fair Lady with Eliza Doolittle played by Karen Gilliam and John Cho playing Professor Henry Higgins. You know, just fascinating. It really is.
But you're not generating excitement in me.
Well, I will tell you, I really, when I saw the pilot, I was like, and this they made into a series, and this they canceled such and such. I'm like, no, you put this on as I mean, I like Trophy Wife, but they canceled that one. It went, you know, like that, you know, and you know, some of the shows I like, they go like 4 weeks and it's gone. So I don't know if Sylvia lasts a season or 4 weeks, but I am waiting. Well, the concept is, I'm sorry, the concept is Pygmalion, let's be honest. I mean, it's
right.
My Fair Lady, it's Pygmalion, but it's not musical, thank God. It's not like pop rock. I don't know if Karen Gilliam can sing, and I don't care. John Cho, I know, can't, so I... But one I'm waiting for. And I love the actor who's in it, Scott Bakula in NCIS New Orleans. Let the good times roll.
I love
Scott Bakula. And it's going to be right after NCIS. So if you're a fan of NCIS, you can watch that and then watch the new show because they're moving Los Angeles on a Monday night. So, yeah.
I tell you what, the one that I'm into, the show that I'm into right now, and it's not a new one, but it's one that everybody is watching now because it's the final season, is Sons of Anarchy, which I had never watched, and my husband and I just marathoned it over the summer and became so addicted.
Woo-hoo.
And I'm loving the final season.
Yeah,
well,
so Sons of Anarchy, I got addicted to that through some friends. But when I lived back in Alabama, they turned me onto it. And so I started to watch the new season, and I realized I was actually behind a season. So now I'm anxiously awaiting until the end of October when they release last season so I can catch up, and then I can watch them all on DVR.
Well, I have DVDs of Orange is the New Black, and I love the first season,
yes.
And I'm waiting to see the second season or have it on DVD because I loved watching Orange is the New Black on DVD so I could slow it down and watch some of the nuances that they were putting through on that, and it was fascinating. It really was.
Genius.
And I heard second season is better, and I'm waiting for it, and they're already playing on third season. And I'm also waiting for Sharknado 3.
For what?
Sharknado 3. I'm sorry?
So you've seen the first two Sharknados? I didn't even know.
Oh, yes. I've seen the first two Sharknados, yes. It's popcorn, okay? the first one has the sharks going through California. And Ian Ziering plays Finn. You know, it's sharks in a tornado, Sharknado. Of course, his character's name is Finn. I mean, God, it's like, can you name somebody else? You know, it's like, can you name a character that stupidly? Yes, okay. And of course, the second one, it has this, at the beginning has a Twilight Zone air to it. That he hears a bump, and then he sees a shark on the wing. And I'm not spoiling the whole movie, but it's like, they're back. It's like, I'm going either John Lithgow in Twilight Zone the movie or William Shatner in the classic Twilight Zone. Yeah, they're back. Sir, you have to calm down. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's pure popcorn, and I'm waiting for the Sharknado 2. The second one was funny because everybody and his brother cameoed in that thing. You had Jarrett, the subway guy, in the subway going, "You're going to eat that?" And they had Robert Hayes, who was in Airplane, as the pilot. So, I mean, and you had Kelly Osbourne, and I'm not, anybody who's seen Sharknado 2, fine. But Kelly Osbourne plays the stewardess that buys it in the first 6 minutes of the film. So anybody who doesn't like Kelly Osbourne, and please, anybody who's a Fashion Police fan, avoid it. But Kelly Osbourne buys it in the first 5 or 6 minutes. Oh, yeah. So it's like, yes, thank you. Get rid of Kelly Osbourne. Okay. But, and there's
This is what I would call, this is what I call shame cinema, where everybody has those movies that are just a complete guilty pleasure, and you have to watch it every time it's on, but you don't admit it to people.
Well, no, I admit it. This one I admit. But also you have to understand Tara Reid, who's co-stars, has less lines than Al Roker and Matt Lauer on the Today Show set, where a shark comes through the thing and there's a pending. They have more lines than Tara Reid, who's supposedly in the cast.
They might have been afraid to give her anything to memorize.
I don't know. I don't care. And Tara Reid fans there, you know, you can put your message in the chat room. I don't think I'm going to repeat them, but that's okay. I remember I talked about it on a previous show that I love Sharknado 1 and 2, and it's like, yes, Tara Reid, and I got emails galore. Yes, audioworld@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Yes, I will read it. I will acknowledge it, and I will then put it where it belongs. Okay. Wait a second. I have a message from one of our listeners here. It says, I like Sharknado. Well, I did too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to live with it. But the first one was
to give it the time of day yet.
I'm sorry?
Is that I haven't been able to convince myself to give it the time of day yet, so maybe I should tune in.
Oh, no, you need to go convince yourself to enjoy the first one and then the second one. The second one's coming on DVD soon and on Blu-ray and all the rest of it.
Oh, I have a question. How much alcohol do you think goes with this?
Depends. How many cameos the drinking game is? How many cameos do you see and who you see? Judd Hirsch plays a cab driver who carries a spare tow rope in his cab.
It's like
every time there's a body count. Yeah, to have a drink. Yeah, you'll be drunk by the end of the 90 minutes.
Okay, then I'm in. If there's a drinking game,
you're in. But the funny thing about Sharknado 2 is they're planning they've already planned the Sharknado 3. Now, the first one was in California. The second one was in New York. I'm just wondering, where do we want to put the third one? Miami? Or do we want to really go and do Sharks Over London? You know, Sharknado, Sharks Over UK or whatever. Anybody have an idea?
Texas. No. Sharks Over Indiana.
There you go, Milwaukee.
It goes well with corn.
Let's just throw it way out there.
If you build it, they will come. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. See, we have sharks. We have people here.
and maybe ghosts from Kevin Costner's Field of Dreams too, right?
That would be awesome.
Right.
Oh, God. Okay. So, we're talking about trash cinema. You know mine. What's yours?
Oh, dear. Oh, boy. It can be
a good one, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's the Gene Wilder version, not the Johnny Depp.
I just talked about this on the Sweatpants and Coffee page, and I asked people, what's your Shame Cinema movie? And mine is Blast from the Past, which I will watch every single time it's on TV or in reruns or something. It's Christopher Walken and Sissy Spacek are the parents. And, his name just went right out of my head. He's the one who was in all the Mummy movies. Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser and Alicia Silverstone.
Yes, that one. I don't know, there's just something so adorable about a man who's been living in a bomb shelter for most of his life and then emerges into California.
I tried to watch it on the movies, the movie channel, and they fraught with every commercial every 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm like, no, I'll watch it on DVD, I will not watch it regular television. You know, they won't put it on AMC because they'll put commercials in it. And most of the other places, they'll put commercials in it. If they're watching it just without commercials, I'll watch it. I love it. But otherwise, no, I can't stand that. So, who else got anything good? What other wonderful piece of trash cinema do we have?
I don't know what qualifies as trash cinema, but I am...
Okay, what's your favorite movie?
I've always been addicted to the movie Ever After with Drew Barrymore.
And I love that, yeah.
Yes, I have to break it out for my daughter to watch now, but I don't know what it is. That is, I just, everything, anytime anybody asks me, that's the first thing I think of.
Okay, my son.
That's a good one. That's not trash cinema.
Yeah, I like that movie. You can't.
Yeah, I don't know, but people make fun of me for loving it, so I thought I'd do that.
I'm a guy. I mean, to me, it's trash cinema, but that's okay. I have friends who like Once Upon a Time.
I do too.
The TV show. I love that show. I love it.
I do too.
I'm so into it.
I haven't seen Once Upon a Time yet, but Vampire Diaries is my guilty pleasure.
Oh, I like Vampire Diaries too. Sure. You guys are hot.
It's pretty
way too young, but they're hot.
I think we're going down on the totem pole of where Bennett thinks of us.
I have no problem with Vampire Diaries. I just, as I've said this before on many, many places before, what I dislike, and I always have disliked, is when a show, okay, I like an episodic show where I don't have to watch 3, 4, 6 weeks of a show to get this week's show. Let me explain. Classic Star Trek, even classic Next Gen Star Trek, you didn't have to watch 6 weeks of Picard doing X and Y to get what happened. You could turn it on and off when they have these story arcs. And I loved House, but yet on the other hand, everything was a story arc, and it was driving me crazy. You know, if I want to see continue next week or whatever, unless it's a two-part show or a cliffhanger for the season, otherwise, just run it, you know, like NCIS Los Angeles is doing that. And I'm like, no, please don't. Just, I'd rather watch one episode or two episodes and I'm finished. If you're doing a story arc that lasts the whole season or whatever, I'm like, no, no, no.
But then
watch
Monster
TV Live. I see. Bennett,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all three of you at once.
do you watch the shows as they air? Like, are you watching them live?
Yes and no, depending on the show. Thank God my cable company has a special thing called Channel 1, which is on demand, and I live on that channel because I can watch a show 2 days after, 3 days after, 4 days after, and enjoy it. You know,
yeah,
because...
this is my recommendation for you. The ones that are episodic that you don't like, I mean, that you like, but you don't like having to watch them in all in a row, wait until they go to Netflix. And then you can watch them all in a row and you don't, you know, you're not missing anything.
No. I'm a smart guy. I buy them on DVD DVD. I'd rather at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm in the mood to watch something, I don't have to worry about, oh, I'm sorry, this title is no longer available or whatever, or there's a block right now. I'm like, no. DVD, I put the DVD on and it's available because it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's in my house and it's like, yeah, you pull out a drink and
I've never had that happen.
Yeah, neither have I, and I've been streaming for the last however many years. See, DVDs don't work in my house because I have a 6- and 8-year-old who destroy them, so it has to be streaming for me.
See, I am too lazy to stand up and put the disc in, you know,
right?
Even though my husband just bought a bunch of Blu-rays because he wants the, you know, the picture quality and the sound quality. If it's not streaming and if I can't just push the button on the remote to see it, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm an
I will tell you, the Blu-rays, what amazes me, I love watching a movie with commentary, and the problem is the Blu-ray now has all the commentary. The DVDs never do anymore. And, I mean, there's a movie, we're talking about trash, guilty movies. There's a movie I love from 1974 called Phantom of the Paradise. I don't know if any of you ladies have seen it, but it's a beautiful movie.
Well, it has the name Phantom in it, so probably.
Phantom of the Paradise has Jessica Harper from My Favorite Year and from Shock Treatment, Garrett Graham from Meatballs and a few other movies, and Paul Williams. Yes, that guy. You know, he wrote the music as well, and to me it's like, I love it. It's popcorn. It's part Faust. It's part family opera, and it's part basically a rock opera in a way. It's fun. It's popcorn. It was directed by Brian De Palma, who did the first Mission Impossible and did other things, etc. Did a couple of movies. You know, Carrie. Nothing you'd recognize, right? And, I mean, I cannot, you know, people like the one that just wrote The Strain, I'm trying to think of the author's name, he's a director, he did Pan's Labyrinth, is a big fan of this movie. And I am too, because it's popcorn.
Guillermo del Toro?
Yes, he is a big fan of the movie. He interviews Paul Williams on the DVD or the Blu-ray part of it or whatever. Fascinating interview. I thought it was so wonderful. A friend of mine has a copy, and I'm drooling because I want to get a copy of it. I just want to go to the songs, and they have such singable songs. But this is also 1974 when songs had lyrics and music, and you didn't hear.
Okay, speaking of songs, I'll tell you my favorite trash show, and I'll be curious to see what you think of it. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, do you like Shock Treatment too, or just Rocky Horror?
I do.
I love that, but I don't think it's trash. I think that's a cultural phenomenon.
Well, okay, wait a second. Do you catcall the screen when it comes on, or you just sit there and watch it?
I sing with it.
Let me say this much. I have the audience participation album track on my DVD. And so it's like, where do you buy your stuff? Columbia. What's your favorite color? Magenta. I'm into it. Riff, show us your mother. And then he goes at the Time Warp.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Have you gone to it live?
I'm sorry? Have I seen it? Oh, I love seeing it live. I wish more people would do it again.
Yet. Yeah, I haven't done it yet. I really, that's, you know, something I want to do.
So we all get party together and go out and just thrill with this.
That would be awesome. Absolutely.
Yep, I'm game. Let's go.
As long as they allow us to toss, I know that they don't want you to, but toss toilet paper when they say, "Great, Scott!" You toss the roll of toilet paper at the screen.
Oh, yeah, you have to do all of it, yeah.
Oh, and the rice and the water pistols and the newspaper. Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
Anticipation. Oh, yeah.
Can I get the dress spark and drag?
Oh, yeah, you better. You bring the costume. This woman is a great costumer. So, yeah, are you going to dress as Magenta or Columbia?
Right, I don't know.
I don't think you'll
That's
do Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
Now, I could see you doing Riff Raff with a lot of makeup, but I could see Magenta or Columbia, you'd be perfect. I mean, this woman knows how to dress. And
I
could see her doing that. Go ahead. You're going to go as?
I'm going to go with Magenta.
Oh, good. Frizzy hair or not?
Can I change it halfway through?
Whatever you want to do, sweetheart. It's your costume. You do it. I mean, to me, the one thing about it is I enjoy the movie. I enjoy a good costumer. And you, my dear, if anybody has not seen Elizabeth Tilton's costume work, she is a master costumer. She really is. It's my pleasure. I've looked at your work. You are beautiful on the costumes. I cannot wait to see what you come up with this Halloween.
You know, I don't know what we're doing for Halloween. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere now, and it's like, there's nothing to do. It's like, okay, this is my favorite holiday, and I have nothing to go to.
Party, okay. Toga party?
Well, yeah, that's a, we talked about that, but, you know, I don't know anybody here.
That'd be a great way to get to know people.
Okay,
yeah, well,
remember, you're all going to her house for Halloween.
It's very conservative here, very conservative.
Where are you now?
Mitchell, Indiana.
Okay. I just moved from small Alabama to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so this is going to be the first year that there is actually something to do for Halloween, and I'm beside myself because I haven't had to celebrate this as an adult for years, so I'm kind of stoked.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, if maybe we need to drive to Indianapolis.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There
we go. Well, I remember 1 year when I did customing, and I spent about 4.5 hours. If Gene Spacer Evans hears me, you know this one. I spent 4.5 hours with liquid latex doing Freddy Krueger.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That is cool.
I mean, I put red on the face. I mean, I did the cracks and crevices and the sweater. I had the throbbing brain on top of my head and I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, that probably looked awesome, but that's miserable type of costuming because that stuff is icky.
Yeah, but you've got the body, but I've got the brains. Okay. The fun
that
part
is
about
exactly
doing
why you did that.
I'm sorry?
I said, and that is exactly why you did it.
Yeah, that's right. Freddy. Okay. No, I tell you, 1 year I dressed up as Dracula, and I did Dracula, and I had a young lady who wore a bridal gown, and we bloodied it up a little, and I wore white pallor and shaved my beard, and yes, I did the count. How are you? Good to see you. Yes, how are you?
You must post it on Facebook. We want to see.
Yeah.
That was a number of years ago. Yeah. This year I'm going to sit back, and hopefully there are kids that will knock on my door and say, trick or treat, and I'll put the Darth Vader mask on. And go, yeah, okay.
That's scary, the little kid.
You know, the kids don't get freaked. The adults go, yeah, he's Darth Vader. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. Okay. What is your favorite Halloween costume or idea that you've wanted to ever do for Halloween?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't ask hard questions, you know.
Wow.
And you have to blame Rowena. That's one of my listeners, Rowena, because she asked that question. We're talking about Halloween.
Thanks, Rowena.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, thank Rowena. It's all her fault, not yours.
I'm a big sci-fi and fantasy nerd, so I would want to cosplay as a character from one of my favorite shows, which is Firefly. I would probably be a character named River Tam, who's mentally
disabled. Okay.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Okay, who's next?
River in the dress with the bare feet.
Yep, River after she's battled the Reavers, so like all splattered with blood and holding the really scary weapons in her dress. Yeah.
Okay, who else?
Goodness, I don't really know because I haven't really ever thought about it. That's why I'm struggling with it big time this year because I have to do this. So,
well, we're trying to help you. We need to help her. Anybody have ideas? We're welcome to watch 2 days later. I'll get emails and they'll send you the ideas once I get them.
Yes, please do because I want it to kick ass.
Oh, you want to kick ass? Do a Vampire Hunter then.
You mean Hit Girl or whoever?
Who's that question for?
What?
No, I know who I want to be. And I don't have... I want to put on a mask and with my cape and be Zorro.
Animal of the Opera.
Zorro.
Yeah,
and talk in a Spanish accent, you know. Oh, yes, like George Hamilton and Zorro the Gay Blade. You know what that is, senor? That's the number 2. No, that is a Z for El Zorro. Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. You know, there's so many great costumes. It's really, and I've done so many different things, so it's hard to pick. But I think One I have never done, but I think would be fun to do, would be an Elvira one.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be good.
Now, I want you to say the word darling. No, wait a second. I want to hear the word darling, like she would.
Yeah, I don't know.
Darling. Yes, okay, she. Oh, God.
So then I need to be something that doesn't speak because I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we could make you Charlie Chaplin.
There you go. There you go.
Slick back your hair, put a little mustache on, you give you a little cane, you'll walk bow-legged for a little while, twirl the cane, and twitch your nose, and you'll be fine. Either that or we give you a fright wig where we curl your hair up and give you a fright wig and give you a horn and a hat and make you Harpo Marx. Well, that way there are two that don't say anything. You know, it's like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, hey, I get what he says. I'm down.
You don't have to say anything and you just, do you agree? Do you disagree?
Oh, she could be the mummy, and she could just go,
Oh, goodness. Or maybe I just need something that talks a lot about nothing. There's alcohol involved.
Oh, I'm sure we could think of some actors that would do that.
<You know. laughs>
So, let me ask you, are we all ready for Halloween next month?
No, oh, God, no.
Not even close.
No. I was just grocery shopping, and I couldn't believe that they had all the stuff out. So, that means that I'm completely unprepared.
I was in Target. They've already got some of the Christmas stuff out already. I mean, and they're playing in the section of the store. They've already got Silent. I'm like, please, dear Lord, we're too soon. Too soon, please.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. The Christmas trees are up at Macy's already, so.
Really?
Target has Christmas trees. I feel like I'm walking through the Bavarian woods almost. It's like, yeah, but they're all fake Christmas trees with silver tinsel and bulbs. And I'm like, can you see somebody coming home from Target going, honey, yeah, we need to put Christmas trees up today.
See, I can actually feel my stress level rising when you say stuff like that. Like, it's too soon to be thinking about that.
Yes, I've been putting down anybody that posts anything about Christmas on Facebook. I'm like, no, you all have to at least let us get through Halloween before you start doing
that's
this.
Fine.
No, no countdown. I don't want to hear it.
Well, no, what I used to love was I used to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Now, this was a number of years ago. Betty White, who's thank God with us, and Lauren Green used to always host the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was still an event, and there's still the balloons and everything else. And it was a lovely 3 hours, and it was. Nowadays, it's almost like 4.5 hours now because the Today Show devotes the Today Show to it, and then the parade and everything else. But I used to live for Santa Claus coming right at the end of the parade, and it was like I knew it was December seasonal holiday right then because it's like Santa Claus just came out. It's like, yeah. Even though I was Jewish, I sat on the guy's lap too, hoping I'd get a gift or something out of it.
Did it ever work out for you?
I used to love Christmas parades, but I had a really traumatic experience when I was a child. I remember going to watch this, and all us kids were gathered around the front, and Santa came by on his float, and he was throwing, like, hard candies, you know, like Jolly Ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a little girl start choking. Like, right there, she turned blue, she started to fall to the ground, and I saw, like, another man run over and give her the Heimlich, and the candy went flying out of her mouth, and that freaked me out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this kid almost died right here. Santa almost killed her.
Santa's killing people.
Let me say this much. We're talking about holiday films for a minute. What's your favorite December seasonal holiday film? Yeah, we're talking Christmas early.
I can't think about that yet. Sorry, I'm out of this one.
Well, mine is
the A Christmas Story.
I'm sorry.
A Christmas Story. You know the
first one, not the remake, right?
Right, right. The first one.
Okay, mine is Die Hard.
It's a Christmas movie. It is.
It's a Christmas movie. Yeah, that and the Boris Karloff version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I live for those two things. Anything else is gravy. But give me, you know, everybody says A Christmas Carol. I think that's great, wonderful, magnificent. Give me Boris Karloff doing, and his heart was 2 inches too small. And I'm there. It's wonderful. It's what I love. However, and give me Die Hard. Yippee-ki-yay. Okay, yeah, I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, just give me that. It's like Hans. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the way he did that. No, just call me Roy. You know, it's like, yeah. It was, yes,
Love Actually is another one. I also love Love Actually as a Christmas movie.
Ooh, I do like that one, yes. Okay, I guess I'll play. So I have kids, so.
Do we put our blindfolds now? She's playing.
Oh,
do we wait
till
the mystery guest signs in or what?
Elf and Home Alone. There you go.
Let me know with Elf.
Okay, wait. Which Home Alone? I have to preface it because there are 5 Home Alones.
Well, I mean, I'm partial to the very first one because that was, you know, when I fell in love with Macaulay Culkin. But after, I don't really.
The reason I say that is I said Home Alone and somebody said to me, they said, I'm sorry, which one are you talking about? And I said, the one with the kid at home. And then, no, which one? So I gotta make sure I'm straight, you know. I can't say New York. I gotta specify which one, you know.
Are they all at Christmas time?
I think 3 of them are at Christmas. 2 of them aren't. One is about a kid that basically has the mumps, and these burglars are trying to break into his house because his father gave him a car that has a special military circuit, and they're all trying to steal it. And one about robbers trying to break into their house, and they keep running into obstacles that this little 5-year-old built. And if you believe that this 5-year-old built it, I've got swampland I'm selling very cheaply in Arizona.
I did know this one little 5-year-old that would create these, like, traps in his house. And so I can believe it based on what I saw that kid do. I walked in one day with his mom, and I was like, holy cow, what has happened here?
He watched too much Home Alone, didn't you know?
We all had to come up with it somewhere. So some kid somewhere did something like that to inspire those movies.
That's scary. Oh, my God, that's scary. Because. So let me ask you all a question. You guys are all in the media business. See, Lori, see how I did it? I CG'd in nicely, didn't I?
We're all in the what?
Media business. You have your radio show. Nanette has her wonderful website. Okay, Elizabeth has her wonderful books. Okay, and I'm prejudiced. I like her books, but I'm prejudiced. I've known her long enough. I can be able to say this. And I have my books and my columns and my radio shows and all the other nice things. What inspired you to do these things?
Well, I can say it was never, ever anything that I had ever considered, but I got some feedback from a leader, and I'm in sales, that I needed to have a better presence in front of my team. And so I was approached by somebody that was running a network, and she said, hey, you have a great voice. You should go on the radio. And I'm like, I have no idea what I would even do. But I got on there, and I did it one show, and I was talking to extremely talented authors who, you know, artists are my heroes. So I found a passion in it, and so that's really how I got started. It was completely unplanned.
And you're good,
yeah,
by the way. I've heard your shows. You are good, lady. Almost as good as me, but I'm prejudiced. Can't you tell?
Well, I try.
Yeah, I only have a little prejudice. I only have a little prejudice because you're on my show.
Well, hey, you know, I've been off the air
when
for
I'm
a while,
guest so on yours, you can be prejudiced on your show.
No. I'm a humble host. What can I say?
Oh, I'm humble. I try to be anyway. No, I've learned.
But you are great.
Thank you. And the check will be in the mail later.
I'm expecting.
I wanted to make sure I did put enough zeros in that check, right?
I sure hope so. I'll let you know.
Okay. You'll send me an email making sure, you know, do you owe me this much? Yeah, okay. So
I would say that a passion was why I started Sweatpants and Coffee. I didn't ever think that it would grow to be what it is now. I thought it was just going to be me with a little blog talking about things that I love, you know, like sweatpants and coffee and things that make you feel good and things that are inspiring and fun and humorous and all that stuff. And
well, that's why I think I do this show, and that's why I'm in that way. That's why I do this show, and I love it so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, somebody just vanished on us. They two to one are going to be back, hopefully. Miss Tilton, how about you?
Well, I think with the foretold book, which I started with, I think my mind was just bored while I was sleeping, and it came up with that because that started with a dream. But I am the queen of what if. So I start thinking when I'm writing, and I'm like, well, what if this happened? Well, what if this happened? Well, what if this happened? And it's like following a trail, you know, of different things that could happen, and if some of them don't ever get make the book. But, you know, I think it's just kind of a game almost that I play with myself and talking with my kids and my family, you know, and, you know, it becomes a game between all of us, too, because we talk about all the different things that could happen. But also, I'm getting ready to reopen my blog, which has been just sitting there vacant for over a year. And I'm going to be focusing on art because I love art, and I really want to push that.
Well, then you better do one on your costuming because I loved your costuming. It was like every time you would post something on Facebook in a costume, I'm like, yeah. I mean, you and Mike were doing the Czar and Czarina or whatever. It was totally blew me away. You totally are so well adapted to that.
Well, that is a lot of fun, and I would like to do some instructional ones on that.
Are you back with us?
Raising my hand.
I'm back. I got booted. I don't know what happened.
It's the boot monster. Don't tell nobody.
I guess.
He's a mean, mean man. Okay, so let me ask you, ladies, one question that's been on my mind, okay? What format do you like reading your books in? Not books that you wrote, but books that you buy or whatever.
I'm going to get so much crap for this, but I prefer ebooks.
Me too.
No!
They're so portable. Really like, if I carried all of the books that I'm reading at one time around in my purse, then I would have to have, like, three backpacks. So I can read whatever I want, whenever I want, by just taking my phone out of my purse. And that's why I'm addicted to the electronic format.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I prefer paperback, but I carry my Kindle with me everywhere. So the paperbacks don't get carried everywhere anymore.
Okay.
I hear judgment, Bennett.
You hear judgment? No. You have to understand. I grew I enjoyed reading a book in galley copy, and a friend of mine used to say, "You can't review it. It doesn't have covers."
What?
I used to get my books in galley and paper oversized trade and things like that, in coverless books, basically, you know, to say book coming out January of next year or whatever, not an e-book. And now everything's an e-book or whatever, right, downloadable or whatever. But I used to get them and they never had hardcovers. And this was the new book, and it came out in there. And it was like you're reading, you know, you're reading the book, and it's like, what are you reading? I'm reading such and such book. That book isn't out yet. I said, yeah, I know. How can you read it? Galley copy. Now they call them, they used to call them galley copies. Now they call them advanced reading copies, or ARCs. And I'm like, oh, do you have your ARC? And I'm like, do I have my what? You know, do you have galleys? What's a galley? An advanced copy. Oh, an ARC. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I do have to say, though, if I read a book that I absolutely love in e-format, then I do want to go out and buy it just to have it on my bookshelf. And if I can get an autograph from the author, then it's even better, just because I like to have the physical copy. I probably will never read it, but I don't know. I'm strange like that.
I totally get that. I just actually was talking to a friend who moved across country, and they had so many books. And I was saying, just move to digital format. And they're like, you know what? But so many of them have been signed by the authors, so we couldn't ditch them. So, but I would do that for book club.
So, what authors would you want to sign your book?
They're all dead.
I'm sorry,
I would love Patrick Cornwell.
So. Any special author you want, or just anybody?
I like anybody, but I would love the books that got me started in reading, I guess. Patricia Cornwell, I would love to have some of her books autographed, and J.K. Rowling, I would love to have her books autographed. And then J.R. Rain is another one. He's mostly in e-format, but I do have a couple of paperbacks.
I know
back,
who Mr.
So.
Rain is, yes.
Love Mr.
No,
Rain.
No,
I
got
my
this.
Show, though.
Oh, I got my books autographed, but my books got autographed in a weird way. And many people have heard me say the story. I got to introduce Ray Bradbury many years ago at the University of Maryland. And I still do write a column called Audio World, where I give out the golden headsets yearly. And he did an audio where he read and his own abridgment of his work, Green Shadows, White Whale. And he said, well, I'm nominated for that. I said, no, sir, you've won. Oh, I won. Great. You know, and he was very, very happy. And to me, Ray Bradbury is the epitome of a writer. He's just the neatest guy. And I said, Mr. Bradbury, sir, he says, call me Ray. Yes, sir. Mr. Bradbury, Ray puts his hand on my mouth and says, Ray. Okay, yes, sir. Ray. Okay. So I was stupid because I introduced him, but I didn't decide. I was trying to be professional. You know, I didn't bring books because I didn't want him to think. I just wanted him to autograph my books. So a couple of months later, Ray was at the Book Expo America. And I brought some books, and I heard this voice saying, Bennett. And I'm going, who's calling my name, looking around? Nobody's around, okay. Look around again. Somebody says, Bradbury wants to talk to you. You're kidding. No. And he points to me, and I say, and he says, yes. And I come up, and the guard says, what are you doing? He says, he's with me. He says, would you like to join me, Bennett? And I'm like, he knows who I am. And that's where your voice becomes four octaves higher.
You start talking like you're in a falsetto. Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting next to Ray Bradbury. Now, we are so close, okay? Put your two fingers together. You know how close Ray Bradbury and I are, okay? And Ray, one of his publishers comes down and says, Ray, you know Bennett? And he puts his fingers together and says, yes, we're this close. And Ray signed all my books, just signed it Ray Bradbury. I had not personalized or anything. And I put them in my bag and took my bag with me. And so I have the Ray Bradbury autograph books, et cetera, et cetera. And a picture of Ray and I, so that way I have proof he did sign it.
I'm jealous.
And,
cool.
And friends came up to me and said, what are you doing here with Bradbury? He invited me. And a lot of people said, son of a, and I said, yes, thank you very much. And, you know, I felt it was so wonderful, you know, because it was like I was asked to suddenly appear, you know. It's nice when they do that, you know. But he was a lovely gentleman. I loved him very, very much. And when he died, I was very, very upset. I know Jerry Robbins, who did the Colonial Radio Theater's production, Martian Chronicles, we all were very upset. Even though he was like 92 years old, he still was immensely part of our lives. He was very, very important.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying, when I think of books and science fiction, that's, you know, he's one of the first names that comes to my mind because he had a huge impression on me. And I think even, you know, I think that had an influence on me writing Trapped. So.
Well, what's your favorite author's book? Mine, of course, is, I have two of Ray's, which one is Martian Chronicles and the other is Something Wicked This Way Comes. What's yours? Don't pick my same ones. No, just kidding.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, what's your favorite author, your favorite author's book or books that you really, really like?
It would depend on the genre, but in fantasy fiction, it would be between Tolkien, Brooks, and Andrew Norton. In the science fiction, probably Bradbury because of the Martian Chronicles. That's the only one I can even think of in science fiction, so I'd say that he would definitely be the best.
So let me ask you, you like Bradbury. Anybody else like
yes.
Bradbury, or is it just us two?
Yes, yes.
So what's your other favorite? If Bradbury wasn't around, who would you like?
Well, it wouldn't be any of those books that come out after the TV show and after. I hate those.
Are you talking about in the genre of science fiction or just...
I'm talking any genre.
Any genre. There's so many...
Because Bradbury wrote everything from detective novels to science fiction. Excuse me.
Sure.
Bradbury wrote...
I would say the first, mystery suspense novel that I read, I remember reading, was Mary Higgins Clark. And that was something, my father was really into her, and I was like, I don't know, 14 or something, and he had...
That was last year, right?
I know she's still writing, but I still remember the very first one that I read by her, which was Where Are the Children? And it was so creepy and so taut, and the way that she wove clues in, and I really enjoyed that. I grew up reading a lot of fantasy, David Eddings and McCaffrey. David Eddings particularly that was the first time I read high fantasy that also had like a lot of humor and characterization, so that was a big influence. And Anne Lamott, as far as like essayists go, she actually lives, I think, in the Bay Area near me, so I could conceivably run into her and have her autograph a book, but I'd be too nervous to ask her.
Stop being nervous. Go out and say hello. You know, have her on your show. I'd come on and ride shotgun with you anytime.
I love her too much. It would be creepy. I don't think I could be cool about it.
Let's say it this way. I thought it was interesting when I had Will Eisner many years ago. I'm a fan of the comic book The Spirit, and I had Will Eisner on my show I was doing High Visibility with Diane Chapman. I was her co-host, and we had Will Eisner. And I was like, and Diane says, breathe, Bennett. You'll be fine. And it's Will Eisner. And she says, breathe. Now talk to him like it's a normal human being like you and I are talking.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you get that little voice going, okay.
Right? See, I can't be cooler like you, Bennett. Like, who was it? Which one of you said that you love Supernatural? Because I love that show.
That was me.
Okay, and shortly after we had launched Sweatpants and Coffee, get press passes for myself and a friend to interview the stars of the show, like Misha Collins. And we found out while we were on the highway driving to this Supernatural convention, which we were just going to attend because we're fangirls. And we got the news that, guess what, you guys have access and you'll be able to sit down with them. And I seriously, it's a miracle I didn't crash the car. I could not be cool about it. I mean, it ended up being really great, but I don't know. I'm too much of a fangirl, I think.
Total fangirl. That's awesome.
I don't know. I think I get, like, when I was doing the radio show, there was whenever the authors would come on, there was a few of them that I would be a little bit intimidated by because I'd read all of their books and I was totally a fangirl. So, like, the first couple minutes might have been a little bit stuttery, but once you find your cadence, then, you know, you just have to get over that bright red face and shaky hand thing and then realize they're human and bring us all back to earth.
Well, I did figure out that only I know that I'm freaking out. You know, outwardly, other people
True.
Don't know that. So.
Well, then you are excellent.
It's easy when you're doing a phone interview, but when you're doing it live, oh, God, it's freaky. You're right, it is freaky. It's like, oh, my God. Is my fly down? Or you're wondering if you're, you know, is it, do I look okay? You know, it's like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, yeah. And you hope you don't go, hi. you know, and you keep going and you keep breathing into your hand and hopefully smelling that you either have good breath or bad breath going, and then putting a Tic Tac in your mouth, half a pack of Tic Tacs in your mouth and go, yeah, chew them up. You know, it's like, okay, breath smells fine. Yes, okay. Because when you meet them finally in person, they're like, yeah. I met Joe Mantegna when I gave him the award for Get Shorty, the audiobook. And I'm like, you're Joe Mantegna? He says, yeah, and you're the audio guy. I was like, okay, I'm good. Now, have you ever wanted to meet a celebrity that you've been dying? And please don't say Joan Rivers or Robin Williams. I'm talking about somebody still with us.
Okay. Like that we would just love to meet? And
yeah, that you would love to meet, yes.
I would love to meet.
No, just meet. You could meet him for an interview. You could meet him for saying hello on the street. I don't care.
Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon would be
okay, who else?
I can't pinpoint just one. I would love to meet them all.
I'd love to meet Terry Brooks. I mean, I admire him. So.
Well, I hope, he's got Alzheimer's, and I wish him well.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he has Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
I will tell you the one that I love the woman because I've spoke to her many times, is Catherine Asaro. And she has written, she's won the Nebula, the Hugo, and the Prism, and all the other things. And what I love about Catherine is she's so real, and she comes out, how are you, darling? And it's not a darling like, oh, darling, how are you? You know, it's not forced. It's really, it's her, and it's wonderful. And because I remember when we first met, we were both at a convention called FamilyCon. This was years ago, and she had just written her first book, and it, no awards or nothing, and I said, I'd love to read it. And she gave me a copy, and I read it, and I thought it was amazing. And she said, what do you do? And she says, I know who you are. And it's like 30 years later, we still know who we are. It's like, yeah. This woman is just such a beautiful lady, and she just has a new, she just got the Kickstarter to do her one of her books on CD. You know, it was wonderful, and you know, I'm glad she got it, and it got, you know, she did Let's Talk. Nene, you know that one, right? Rachel, we love you.
Yeah. We do love you, Rachel.
Yeah, if she does listen, we tell her that she's on. We've mentioned her, and she gets very happy. let me do a little homework before I get people mad at me, because I want to make sure a couple of things are done before this. So you ladies will excuse me for a minute. Just whisper to yourselves while I let everybody know. On the 22nd, on the World of Ink Network, The Writing Mama has a New York Times best-selling author, M. Bridget Cook. On the 23rd, Marcia Casper Cook has a good story. It's a good story. That's at 8 p.m. Virginia, again, has The Writing Mama show on the 29th with R.J. Johansson. On the 2nd, Fran Lewis has... writer Tom Sawyer. And so that'll be lovely. And Cassandra Dane on the 5th of October has The Edge. And I love The Edge. She is, she just does a wonderful things. And by the way, so you know, the next show I'll be doing here for the World of Ink Network, that's Any Which Way But Loose, I will have Kathleen Ball, Brooklyn Ann, Marjorie Wallingshaw, and maybe if she behaves herself, no. We may or may not have Marcia Casper Cook. Yeah, one of the bosses of World of Ink will be coming on my show. So, yeah, I have to be on my best behavior, folks. The big people are going to, big people are going to be good. And on the Bennett Pomerantz Network, just letting everybody know what's going on. Rachel and I have a surprise guest, and that is on the 24th. Sarah, the lovely Sarah Steele, and I have the legal show, and we are going to be talking about parents who leave their children in cars and the law and how it's really cracking down. And I will be off for the next 2 weeks on Anything Goes shows on the 26th and on the 3rd of October. That is because I am of the Jewish persuasion, and it is the Jewish holidays. So anybody who is Jewish, happy holiday, happy Rosh Hashanah, happy Yom Kippur. It's not a happy time of Yom Kippur, but you know what I'm saying. Everybody... You know, hey, yeah, happy Yom Kippur, right? Okay, yeah, right. The Shana Tova, whatever, you know. However you want to do it, you know, people are like, well, why not say this or that or whatever? And that's fine with me because I don't mind being, you know, I'm not super religious. I do have enough respect for my mother to do it. And so it'll be a lovely time. It'll be a good New Year. I don't even know the Jewish year. I'll find out later, and you guys can email me. I will be getting emails of you should know the Jewish New Year. Yeah, like, I'm going to know the Jewish New Year so well. I know I didn't write this guy's name, but a gentleman named Kermit just sent me a Yahoo IM. He says, who do you admire the most in why that person inspires you? Yeah. So he's asking, well, what person or persons inspire you and why do you admire them? I think so. He's writing yes. So good.
Okay.
So,
like famous people or just people?
And people, I would assume. You could say famous people if you want, but people. People, people, who need people. Okay. You know it's coming,
really...
okay?
Okay, this answer is going to, this is what all moms say probably, but I would have to say my children, particularly in different ways, but my daughter, because she is already at the age of 9 what it took me, you know, until 43 to figure out. She just completely inhabits herself, and she's so confident and fearless. So I know that even though I am personally an anxiety cat, I must be doing something right. And my son, because he's the smartest person I know. So those are the people who inspire me.
Well, I think we all have to agree with that one.
Me? Yeah, definitely.
I could have
said that verbatim.
So all three of you agree that, huh? That's it, huh?
Okay. Well, I agree with that, but the person I admire the most would be, and this is going to also sound really, you know, sappy, but it's my mom. She's in her 70s, and she continues to grow. She continues to study things and learn things and changes week to week, I mean, and become a better and better and better person. And you know, I can only hope that I could do the same thing.
Okay. Well, the person, I yeah, okay, wait a second. Let me answer this E question here. Yes, I will answer. I promise. Okay. There's a lovely lady, if anybody remembers Merv Griffin and knows who Donna, Mrs. Miller was Merv Griffin's, listened to almost every show I do. So, yes, Donatella, I will answer the question. The person that inspires me the most, she happens to be visiting me this week from New York. Yeah, my Aunt Barbara inspires me the most. This is a lady that taught me about reading. I was a big fan of the 87th Precinct, and I read every book of the 87th Precinct she had on her shelves. And I made a list of all the ones I didn't read. And I went to the New York Public Library. And the New York Public Library said, "These are for adults. You're a 12-year-old kid. You can't read this." And I came back home, and she'd come home from her job, and she said to me, she says, "Let's go back to the library." And she went into the library with me, and she says, "I want him to read those books." And the librarian says, "These are for adults only." And she says, "Well, I said, so is the 5 o'clock news, but I let him watch that too." And to me, that was so much more important than anything else. She taught me a lot of lessons. She's still teaching me lessons. I won't tell you what she's taught me this week alone, but she still teaches me lessons. And I admire her and respect her. When I write, she's one of the people I think about. I got to say this, because if not, I love my mother very dearly, and my aunt, of course, is wonderful. But my mother still thinks that I go to sleep at night, and the elves come in, like the shoemaker and the elves. The elves come in and write my columns, and then when they get printed, oh yeah, okay, yeah, when did you write this? I wrote it, mother. Yeah, right. The elves come in and write it for me, didn't you know?
Oh, send them to me.
Okay. Well, also, I wait a second. Do you have? Okay, I was going to make a bad joke. Do you have brownie mix? Because they love brownies.
I do, in fact. Lots of brownies.
Oh, good.
Mix.
Going to her house next. But you see, once I get them trained, I don't want them to leave. You know, I have to put my columns through that. But no, all kidding aside, my mother still thinks, yeah. She says, "You wrote this? Yeah. When did you write this? Months ago. When did you have time?" Yeah, okay. I love my mother. I love you, Mommy. I'm allowed to say that, yes. I'm sorry?
Did you see the Lost Girl episode with the brownie that did all the housework and everything?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love that episode.
Well, you know, we could always call brownies in. Yeah, okay. But they love brownies, so you bake them some nice brownies and you ask them to come, and they when they start picking off your brownies, and they if you make them chocolate chips, they pick out the chocolate chips, you know. So
okay,
you have brownies that look like it's a moon crater rather than a chocolate chip brownie. So, ladies, let me ask a... I wanted to get this done now because usually I usually do this at the end of the show and usually I'm rushed. Most of you know this one. What's your link, Sphinxes and Jinxes? How can they get a hold of you other than Tano's sending smoke signals? Let me start with Miss Hoffman, who I know where to get a hold of her, but I figure she'll do it anyway.
All right. Sweatpantsandcoffee.com is our website, and that's the same name on Facebook, Sweatpants and Coffee, and on Twitter we're at Sweatpants Cafe.
Okay. Miss Hayes, would you like to tell them how to get a hold of you?
Sure, you can find me on Facebook and Facebook. I am just facebook.com, and then it's Reverie with Me. It's R-E-V-E-R-I-E with Me. Or my personal Facebook page, which is Lori Hayes, and you can find it in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And then I am Red Reverie on Twitter.
And Miss Tilton, how do they get a hold of you? Other than they look and see, ask for a beautiful lady, and here you come.
On Facebook, it's ES Space Tilton. On I have a website, chironsworld.com, which is spelled KYRONSWORLD.com. And on Twitter, it's Sexy Fantasy Book, all one word.
I love it. Sexy Fantasy Books. Oh, yeah. Let
that's
me just,
that's
okay.
That's a long story, why that happened.
Well, I'm listening. Go ahead. Everybody wants to know. Go ahead, because I don't want to get the emails later on. What's the story, you know? Go ahead.
I did a marketing course, and I had the foretold books out, and they had sex scenes on them because the first people who previewed the books, you know, were like, you're leaving that part out. You're leaving that part out. So I wrote the sex scenes in, I put the book out, and I now had a fantasy fiction book, which was a legitimate fantasy fiction book with complete full-blown plot, but it had sex scenes. So it was a really hard market to hit. So my marketing course said, well, pick something that has to do with both. So that's why I now have sexy fantasy books.
Jeez, that makes so much sense.
It does, and yet it doesn't, because it really has not hit the market, because the romance readers read it, and they're like, well, there's not enough romance, and the fantasy readers are like, well, you just write romance. So, you know, if I had it to do over, I'd probably just name it Chiron's World, but it's already there, so I'm keeping it.
And
okay.
You can't please everyone, and they probably find you with that name, right? Because it's pretty saucy, so.
Yeah, that's a great domain name.
Now let me ask you, what projects do you guys have upcoming?
Oh my!
Well, Lori, you have this lovely book coming out soon. Would you like to tell them?
Yeah. So my book comes out on September 23rd. It's called Intermezzo, a collection of spicy stories, and that's exactly what it is. And it's it'll be published under my pen name again, Red Reverie. And then hopefully in November, you'll see me back on the radio under Reverie with Me will be the name of it, of my network. And it'll feature all indie artists. So it'll be musicians, artists, authors, whoever.
When are you inviting me?
Oh, you're going to be there. I'll have you as one of my very first guests, Bennett.
Thank you. You remember, this is archived, so you have witnesses, about a million witnesses.
I have witnesses.
I'm witnessing.
You got witnesses. Oh, my God. I had an author once, and I love this author, but she almost gave her address on the air. I'm like, excuse me, this show is archived. People will listen. I mean, they know I live in the D.C. area. I don't tell them where in the D.C. area. It's not your business. If you're writing a book, that's great. Get me a contract before you tell me you're, you know. But otherwise, I'm in the D.C. Where are you? We're in the D.C. area. Great, you know. If I do a family occasion, yeah, I tell them after I come back, not before. So it's like, yeah, but I always, and, you know, it's a lovely thing to do. But sometimes people get a little too close for comfort. And well, I love my, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you have a pretty big following, so I would say you probably need a lot more caution than I do at this point.
I tell this story, and this is funny. I was in a Target buying something, and the woman says, I know you from the radio. I said, thank you. That's nice, ma'am.
That's creepy.
And then she looks at me and she says, what are you doing here? Don't you have a staff that does this?
And I
looked at her. And I said, I gave them the day off. So, yes, I gave them the day, you know. And if that woman is listening, dear lady, thank you for saying that. It's been wonderful to know that I'm loved and people know who I am. Thank you very, very much. Now you never try to burn a fan. They're wonderful sometimes. Even when they ask you what the heck you're doing here and you're in Target trying to buy food or trying to buy whatever, they expect you have servants, you know.
I need minions, okay? Skip the servants. Just give me some minions.
Remember that she wants minions, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Should they look like the guys from Despicable Me too?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be best.
We are the minions.
Portable.
Yeah, okay. All in yellow, right? Get your minions. Remind me that when I see you next time, I'll send you a picture of a minion, so that way you have a minion for me. Either that or I'll send you a picture of 12 Jews praying. You got a minion. Okay, slap my hand on that one. I know, slap my hand on that one. It was a bad joke. I'm allowed once in a while to get funny, okay? Yeah, I just had my funny period. We're good. Ms. Tilton, would you like to tell them about your new book and how wonderful it is, because it is wonderful? I'm also prejudiced.
Oh, I'm so glad you love it. I mean, that just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, really, seriously. And I mean that. I'm not just saying it.
I've known you long enough. I can tell you if you screw up, I'm the first one that will kick you in private. I will never do it publicly. But, it's funny. When you tell somebody they did wrong privately, they're like, they can't go and say, you've embarrassed me. No, I've said it privately,
yeah.
Not...
But we have to hear that.
Oh, I know.
Mean, that's feedback.
No, either that or you get somebody going, what do you know?
It's okay. It's a fiction story about a girl who has joined the Red Pelicans Assassin Guild, and she's, you know, thinking she's just going to be a spy for him, and things go awry. And she spends the entire book trying to get free. So there are ghosts and there are psychics, and that's all I'm saying.
And you have this special foreword, I heard.
I do? Oh, yes. Well, I'm waiting
okay,
for it.
Okay, well, go ahead. You do? Yes, I think you do. Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
You there?
I'm not hearing you. What are you saying?
You have a foreword of your new book written by somebody I know.
Well, I'm hoping somebody's going to know.
Hoping
it
it's finished. I didn't send it to you yet. I've been a little busy.
No, you didn't. Yes, Bennett is writing a foreword for it. So I'm excited, and I'm going to be adding that, and it's going to get a new cover because I had an issue come up with the copyright on the back of the cover. So basically the people that made it changed their mind about what they wanted it to be happening with it. So I'm putting a new background on the behind Sarinka. So I'll be getting a different cover, and it'll be getting a foreword from Bennett.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a forward. Why not? And I'll be doing the forward.
I love it.
I love doing forwards because that way I can introduce my friends and my enemies and tell them what I think. And people say to me, they're like, well, why do you like doing forwards? Because that way I can showcase the people I know and people I don't know when they write a book. And I'm very proud of it, my friends. And I like to make sure I show them what they are. My friend Lindsay Downs' new book will be out soon, which I really, really love. And yes, I wrote the foreword to it. So it'll be out in late October, early November with my foreword in it. And I get to talk about Lindsay, who is a guy, and what happened when he was on my show and one of the listeners said Lindsay was a female. And Lindsay and I still laugh at that. Okay, let me ask one other question that's been on my mind. Yeah, I know I'm rushing it, but are you guys ready for 2015 yet?
Goodness. My father's
right around our head.
I'm just trying to be here before
this
works.
I'm sorry?
I just said it's right around the corner. It's going to be here before we know it, so I'm not even thinking about it. Blinking all of a sudden, January.
Yeah, I know. But what happens is this is the end of September. October goes by so quick. November, you know. And December, I don't need you blinking, it's gone.
See, I'm just trying to be in the moment. I'm just trying to...
There you
I'm
go.
I'm taking each moment as it comes.
You
I'm
know,
not going to time travel to 2015 yet.
That's
well,
right.
I've already got my calendar set for 2015. I've already got four things already set for it, including the next Dragon Con. So it's like, oh, my God, I'm set.
Okay, I must go to Dragon Con. Where is that?
I'm sorry?
Where's Dragon Con?
Dragon Con is in Georgia. Hotlanta, Georgia. Sarah Steele and I will be there. Hopefully we'll be doing a live show. You're welcome to join us anytime, darling. And so, you know, as many want to come, we'll be at Dragon Con. We will be having a great time. Sarah and I, as I said, we'll be doing a live show. We don't know who the guests are going to be right now because whoever
have
we can pull in.
Have you done live before? I'm sorry.
A live show at a convention or a live show at Dragon Con?
At a convention of any type.
I've done live shows at conventions, yes. Doing a live show at a convention is nutsy and cuckoo. You have to be half crazed to do it. I'm half crazed. I'm doing it, yeah. As long as I, and Sarah Steele, who's a great attorney, she lives in Atlanta, and she will be at Dragon Con, will be there. I don't know who's going to be the guests. I'm hoping I can get some lovely people. I usually can. I hopefully will be doing one next year in October at Hollow Reads. That's tentative because Rachel Rawlings hopefully will get me there, and I will surely do a live show there. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's
get
so
some
cool.
Home. Doing a live show that when people are live is a little strange. It really is. I will say this now to anybody in person. I will say this otherwise. When you're doing a live show and you're doing telephone patch, it's fine. But when you're doing a live show and the people there are in front of you, there are so many factors. You cut me off. You didn't cut me off. And you're trying, you know, oh, yeah. It's like the children's hour.
Aw. So do you just like interview people that are coming past? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, usually you talk to XYZ. What are you doing at the show's at from 9 to 11? We'd like you to come by. Okay, I can only come for 20 minutes. I got a panel at 10. Fine, stop by. And you do what we're doing here, but we're doing it live. or I can be here for the whole show. Great, do it. And then they decide to take the mic, and they make sure that they are the star of the world.
Okay, I've had that experience before.
And I love people being the star of the world. However, you know, I'm like, excuse me, he needs to say something, okay? Or you have somebody that sort of like suddenly becomes shy. And I will call on them like a teacher going, and why don't you tell me what you want to say or whatever? And it blows their mind. They don't know how to react. They don't know what to do, and they freak out. And
well,
friendships. I'm sorry?
I feel that way everywhere. Every time I do a show with you, I get all nervous. I get apprehensive. My stomach goes in a knot.
You shouldn't. I'm easy.
It's completely and
you, wait a second. I want to make sure they understand. I didn't arrange her saying that, okay?
No. Yeah, no, he didn't.
But I talk to people like I'm talking to all of you, like I talk to the audience out there, and because they're so important. They know I love ET, and they know I love things, and they know I love my audience. And so somebody comes up and they say, "You didn't say such and such or such and what." I'll stand corrected. I'm not an approval whore that has to live on what people tell me. You could be right or wrong or indifferent, but I'm listening to everybody's opinion. That doesn't mean I'm going to change my mind, but I'll listen to it. That's what makes it so good. I'm sorry?
You rock.
And you notice I did not arrange that, so yeah, okay, I'm rock. But do I roll? That's the thing. I rock, but do I roll?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, okay. Your daddy don't dance and your mama don't rock. Okay, never mind.
Take it away.
Take it away. Yeah, okay, thank you. Ladies, let me let them know how they can get a hold of you again. Make sure that they get, because I want them, I don't want to get emails from these, and I love you all, people that send me these emails, but I want to make sure names are spelled correctly, because, Ms. Hoffman, I want to make sure they spell your first name correct and find you, because I don't want to end up having to be sent 20 emails with your name corrected. Let me start with her.
N-A-N-E-A.
Okay. And your website is, I should know it by heart, but go ahead.
Sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
And she'll say nice things about me, hopefully, later on the show.
Absolutely.
In a day or two.
That's
I didn't
right.
bite much,
I'll
did
put
I?
I'll put the archive up on my site.
That's good. I didn't bite much, did I?
No, it was painless.
Oh, remember that. It was painless. Okay. Yeah, right. I should start putting a Dennis pole out. It's painless. Right. Okay. Ms. Hayes, would you like to tell them how to find you and how not to find you and when you're going to start up on your radio show again and so they know where to find you?
Sure. So I'm going to capitalize that spelling thing. So when you're looking for me on Facebook, it's Lori Hayes, H-A-Y-S. There's no E in there, but everybody likes to give me one anyway.
Oh, by the way, Lori is with an I, not a Y. Okay, I've already got that already.
L-O-R-I-H-A-Y-S.
Somebody wanted to find you.
And then I'm on Facebook at Reverie With Me, and that's where you will find information about when I'm going to relaunch the radio show. So you can find it on Facebook and Reverie With Me.
Okay. And Miss Elizabeth Tilton, would you like to tell them how they can get a hold of you and get your book and all these nice things?
Well, my book's available on Amazon, and you'll just have to put Trapped in it, and you may have to use my name, E-S space Tilton, T-I-L-T-O-N. The best way to get a hold of me, to contact me, is on Facebook. And that is, again, E.S. Tilton.
either that or have Tano send her smoke signals. They could see it all the way from where she lives. From her place, they could see it, right?
Right.
I mean, I sent her smoke signals and it came up. You know? Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a lovely, lovely evening. I thank you all for giving us your time and your patience. And thank you for having fun with us.
It was fun.
And thank you for your questions, everybody around. I will be back. These other ladies can come anytime they want to visit. I would love their time and their thing. I will be back on the 11th of October, where my guests will be the lovely, talented Marjorie Walshaw, Brooklyn Ann, and she has a lovely horror book. So yeah, if you haven't read it, you should. And Kathleen Ball. I will not be doing shows on my classic Anything Goes show on the Nick this Friday on the 3rd, but on the 10th I will have the lovely Christine Nolfi sitting in the hot seat on Anything Goes on Friday at 11. So yeah, it will be a lovely time for all. And if Lori lets me, I'll come on doing her show. I'll sit in the hot
seat. Absolutely. I look forward to it.
And let her grill me. Well, are you going to grill me or saute me in butter and olive oil?
We'll have to see. I'm going to leave that to be the suspense.
Oh, sheesh. I wanted to be grilled in butter and olive oil.
We shall see. I'm hungry.
Well, all kidding aside, I wish everybody a good new year. Yes, I am Jewish, but I'm saying it anyway. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a good new year. May you be inscribed in the book of life, as they say every year, and next year in Jerusalem. May I also say, and I wish you well, everyone have be well. I'm getting too old, so I'm getting a little maudlin as I say goodnight. So I love E.T., I love people around me, and these ladies are wonderful. Don't ever, ever say they're not. They're all three are beautiful people, and I know all three, and they are beautiful people. So look them up, take and be nice to them, and tell them you heard them here or whatever, because they are good people. Well, I'm going to close out my evening, and anybody else want to say goodbye before I leave?
Yes, thank you so much, Bennett. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and it's been wonderful meeting you other ladies. It's just been absolutely awesome.
It has.
Yes,
it's been nice meeting everybody and talking with everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much, Bennett. Thanks, ladies.
And
good
thanks
night.
To the audience for listening.
Oh, well, I do thank them. They're what makes this show. So good night, and everyone have a good 2 weeks. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.